harmonize with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna amongst the devotees.
What Radhanath Maharaj has said is actually the essence of all truth, the essence of all religion, all spirituality. The holy name, Sri Nam, is bliss. Nam is eternal. Nam is merciful and always a person, fully transcendental. Although the means himself, he is also the end, and he gives us the result, which is pure love of Godhead, life's ultimate goal, and the essence of all the Vedas. Of all the Vedic hymns and all the Vedic mantras, the holy name is the most potent. And of all holy names, the wonderful assembly contained in the Maha Mantra is the most potent of all. The Vedic mantras and the prayers of the various religions are meant as an address to the Lord. But the holy name is the Lord. Nam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuro Nitya Mukto Vinatam Nam Namaha. Non different in all respects from the Lord Himself. Different in one respect, actually. In the respect that regarding worship of the Lord and service to the Lord, there are many rules and regulations concerning time, place, circumstance, purity and impurity of the worshipper, and so on. But the holy name of the Lord is so merciful that he disregards all such restrictions and regulations and injunctions, and mercifully agrees to appear even on the tongues of foul-mouthed and omnivorous persons, to give them a taste of that nectar for which you're always anxious. Anyone can experience that taste. And then usually that taste withdraws. It's like an introductory offer. And then once you've tasted it, everything of this world loses all its charm. And then you want to get it back. And the qualification is, as Maharaj so eloquently expressed, humility. And surrender, Sharanagati, as defined by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, means humility, dedication of the self, conviction that Krishna will surely protect us. Accepting the Lord as one's only maintainer. Accepting all things favorable for devotional service. And rejecting all things unfavorable. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj certainly hears the prayers of one who approaches him by this sixfold path of Sharanagati, which means, in a generic sense, surrender. But actually has this sixfold meaning. So, Krishna concludes Bhagavad Gita with Sarva Dharma Pritya Amiham Sharanam. Abandon all other duties and varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from whatever sinful reaction may be incurred by giving up other duties. So, do not fear. Do not hesitate, do not worry. Sarvadharma Pratyaja Malmikam Sharanam Braja. Braja. Braj means pasturing ground. It means the Vrindavan. And Prabhupada translates that word as to go. He's telling us go. Go to Braj, go to Krishna. And the means has become so simple. the most merciful form of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing that this Kali Yuga would be destroying all of the entities. Kali is a very fearsome and poisonous kind of person. He's the son of Krodha, anger, and Himsa, violence personified. You can imagine what kind of person he is. And he loves to incite quarrel and hypocrisy. And wherever we see those features, Kali is at work. Himself, he's not so dangerous because he's easy to recognize. But the work of his undercover agents causes great pain to the heart of the Lord. So, what to do when this cobra-like serpent is biting and poisoning everyone? The Lord was lamenting. He came at the end of the Dwapar Yuga and taught that we should surrender unto Him. But He was seeing that nobody was doing it due to the onslaughts of Kali. So the Lord thought, I will have to give such a direct and potent form of medicine for this Kali Yuga, which has never been offered before. The medicine has certain requirements. It must be very potent, because nothing else will counteract the poisonous effects of Kali. And it also must be very sweet, because in the Kali Yuga, people are not inclined to take to spiritual practices. So he gave us the holy Maha Mantra. And this mantra is very unique and special, because it is imbued with the deep love and ardent longings of Srimati Radharani for her beloved Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, in that mood, chanting that mantra and authorizing it for this Kali Yuga, makes it the only remedy in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The Vaishnava is naturally the most tolerant and humble of all beings, and that is the quality which attracts Krishna. The Acharya of the holy name, Srila Haridas Thakur, is the emblem of humility. Even when brought to the Mohammedan court because of the complaints of the Smarta Brahmins, that this man has not only defied Mohammedan religion, but also Hindu religion. And the governor was pressured by the Smarta Brahmins to arrest Haridas Thakur, even if it necessitated violence, which it didn't, because he came willingly to the court of the king. And when that governor received Haridas, he couldn't help but stand up and offer respects. Because Haridas, because of his humility and pure devotion, had very beautiful features, much like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And the governor offered respects, and he told him, Haridas, why is it that you've defied the rules of your glorious Mallatya religion? It is by no rare great fortune that one is allowed to take birth in the most glorious Yamana race. How could you forsake such great high birth and take to the ways of the Hindus and even chant the name of their God? And Haridas Thakur, although he's a very self-controlled personality, he could not help but burst into laughter and proclaim, just see the deluding potency of our Lord Sri Vishnu. to make you speak in such a wonderful way. And then he gave a speech. He said, "My dear governor, please understand, there's only one God, and he is the Lord of everyone. That same supreme, indivisible, irreducible personality of Godhead, who is the best friend of all living entities and resides in the hearts of all, is the same person addressed by us as Krishna and you as Allah. And he hears the prayers of his respective persons and peoples and religions. And there's no need to quarrel and fight amongst one another on the basis of man-made religious systems. Because all religions agree that the essence and basis of religion is to surrender unto him." And he continued on and on. He gave such a beautiful speech that everyone in that whole assembly, and there was a lot of people in that particular courtroom because they knew that this was going to be a very exceptional case, everyone was completely satisfied except the Qazi, who's in charge of both the religion and the state, and had not one iota of kindness or humility in his heart, and therefore could not appreciate the words of the Absolute Truth so eloquently spoken by Haridas. So he protested. See, the governor wanted to release him. He said, "This man is perfect. He's a saint." And the Qazi protested, "No! If this man is set free, he will lead many others to perdition, the same path he is taking. So he must be punished in such a way that no one will ever be so unfortunate as to follow his footsteps." And then the governor again pleaded with Haridas, "Just do what he says. Just utter the formula of your religion. You know, proclaim faith in your Mohammedan religion and you will be free. Give up the ways of the Hindus. Proclaim your Mohammedan faith and you will be set free. Otherwise this Qazi will inflict horrible sufferings upon you." And Haridas replied in all humility that "you can hack my body into pieces if you like, or you can torture me until life forsakes me. But whatever you do, be certain that I will never give up the chanting of the holy name of our most merciful and lovable, kind Lord Sri Krishna." So the governor turned to the Qazi, "What to do?" And he said, "Take him to the common marketplace and in the streets assemble all your executioners with clubs and whips and beat him to death in the public square. And if somehow he survives, then drag him through the streets to the next public square and do the same. And if he somehow survives the second time, then take him to the third," which no one has ever survived before. Haridas was just a frail, old sadhu. So there is no... But they said, "Take him through all the marketplaces in town and make such a show that nobody will ever take to the chanting of Hare Krishna again." So they dragged him into the streets and began beating him with clubs and whips. And to their amazement, he did not show any signs of pain, but only looked at his tortures with great compassion. And sometimes he was smiling, which just bewildered them all the more. They beat him until they were exhausted, and Haridas was not showing any effects of pain or discomfort, so they took him to the next market. They took him to all 22 marketplaces in town, at the end of which, and these Muslim executioners, they're the most brutal and absolutely merciless people in the whole Yavana society. They beat him until they were so exhausted that they could barely stand. And then they became very fearful. And they frankly told Haridas that if you do not die that you will be the cause of death for all of us. If the Kazi hears that we failed to torture you to death, then he will kill us. And Haridas said, well, it's not my way to give pain or anxiety to any living being. So if you want, you can see me die. And Haridas just remembered those beautiful lotus feet of his beloved Lord Gauranga and collapsed on the ground, and all life symptoms were suspended, to the amazement of everyone. They dragged him to the palace of the governor and said, see, he's dead. And the governor said, give him a most honorable funeral. And then the Kazi again appeared on the scene and said, no, he is not worthy of a funeral. You should throw his body in the river so that his soul will constantly be carried on the current here and there and will never find peace. This is the only atonement suitable for one who proclaims the chanting of the holy names of the Hindu god. So they tried to throw him into the river. But in his meditation, Sri Vishwambar, who was the holder and the shelter of all the creation, had entered his heart, and he became more immovable than the Himalayas. And once again, the executioners were very frightened. They were beginning to suspect that possibly he was the saint which people proclaimed him to be. But nevertheless, even the Ganges herself is very eager and anxious to render service to such a devotee as Haridas. So Vishwambar released that potency, and Haridas displayed the Leela of being thrown into the holy Ganges. And Ganga Devi herself carried him back to the town of his residence and revived him. And he came out on the shore chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just the way he had when they dragged him off to the court. And everyone is so delighted to have him back in Puglia. And then when word got back to the capital, the governor and others came down and fell at his lotus feet and said, we now know for certain that you are the great Muslim saint that people proclaim you to be. And all those who did not come and surrender unto his lotus feet were destroyed with all their family. So later, in the house of Srivas Thakur, where the kirtans were so phenomenal, as Maharaj was explaining, I mean, Lord Gauranga, when he would dance, sometimes he'd dance on the ground, sometimes he'd dance in the air. He'd become so light, like a feather, he'd just drift in the air, dancing very beautifully. And then when his mood would change, he'd get heavy and come crashing down, and the earth would shake and even crack sometimes. And when Lord Vaidyanathan and Mahaprabhu danced together and came down at the same time, it felt like the earth had collided with another planet. And they were calling each other by their previous names from Krishna Leela. That's how Kavi Karnapur, you know, by way of the word of mouth, figured out who's who, which he described in his Gauragandhas Deepika. They began calling each other, and they, why did he? And then they figured out who they were, and all they could do is Hari Bol. They realized that Krishna Leela is being replayed right here in Srivasangam, and they just became so happy. But they were afraid, you know. What are they going to do if this goes? So it's like a group of scientists experimenting with some new invention to see. And then one night, Lord Gauranga began revealing to the different devotees pastimes which he had displayed to them before they came to realize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He called so many devotees. Gangadas Pandit, he called his old grammar teacher. He said, hey Gangadas, remember that night when the Mohammedans attacked and you had to flee to an island, and it was very cold. You didn't have a chance to get any clothes for your children, and everyone was shivering from the cold. And you couldn't get back to your home. And it was late at night. And you were thinking, you know, there's no boat available, and the Mohammedans, they're just, you know, plundering the area, and my children are probably going to be molested. Better I just die. I should just give up my life. When suddenly, out of nowhere, a boat appeared and said, "Get aboard." I said, "I don't have any fare." "That's all right. I'll take you across." Remember that boatman who took you back to your home and didn't even ask that you pay the fare? And Gummy Das Pandit, "Yeah, I remember, but nobody else knows about this." And like that, he told different, and Srivas Thakur said, "Remember, Srivas, when you died, and then you were immediately revived, and that Narada Shakti entered your heart?" In this way, he told the devotees things that nobody else knew. In this way, they could understand. He knows our heart. He's the Lord. And then, when he came to Haridas Thakur, the Lord just began to cry. He said, "Haridas, there's no devotee in the world like you. And what can I say about you? When those Muslim executioners were trying to beat you to death in the public square, whatever external reasons there are for my advent in this world, I actually appeared then and there. In my forearm form of Sri Vishnu, with the Sudarshan chakra in my hand, ready to sever their heads from their bodies. And just when I was about to throw the Sudarshan, you prayed to me that, my Lord, don't take notice of what these people are doing to me, but please just deliver them." And what to do? "I came down for the sole purpose of annihilating them and found that you were praying that I deliver them." And then Sudarshan Chakra became impotent and refused to leave my hand. So what to do? I could not let them continue with their atrocities. But I had to fulfill your prayer to deliver them. So how to resolve this episode? Said Haridas, "It was I who took you into my heart and took the beating upon my own back. And then when Mahaprabhu turned around, everyone saw whip marks and club marks on the Lord's own back. And Haridas fell down on the ground crying. And praying in such a way as revealed to the Lord, to the world, the glories of the holy name." Haridas prayed, "When the king of all the demons tried to kill his saintly son, Prahlad took shelter of your name and was protected from all harm. And when that sinful Duryodhana abused the Pandava's wife, she simply called upon your name and you protected her from that strife. And when those evil-minded witches attacked the goddess Parvati, she surrendered to your name and you came to her immediately. And when the Pandavas in exile had to face Durvasa's wrath, they simply took shelter of your name and you protected them once again. But I am so sinful, having fallen from your grace, I know nothing but misfortune, and still you give me so much faith. You have certainly delivered this world from misfortune, and that is not a very great thing, but if you can deliver a sinner like me, the world will sing of your glory." So he prayed that whatever birth I take, be it an animal or whatever, just let that be in the home of your devotee. Because then I can eat that devotee's remnants and in this way make some kind of advancement to come back into your shelter in some future birth. So when the devotee has heard the humble prayers of Haridasa Thakur, they could only cry and chant, all glories to Haridasa Thakur. So it was because of his deep humility and surrender that although born in an outcast family of unbelievers, the Lord made Haridasa Thakur the Acharya of the Holy Name. Because as Mahaprabhu said, some people preach, but their behavior is not perfect. Some have good behavior, but they don't preach so well. An Acharya should do both, and Haridasa is perfect. Therefore, he is the Acharya of the Holy Name. So, after delivering Advaita Acharya from his so-called impersonal tendencies, the Lord took bath in the Ganges and then visited a little temple of Krishna. And Lord Gauranga fell prostrate at the feet of the Lord. And then Advaita saw the opportunity, fell prostrate with his head at the feet of Lord Gauranga. And then Haridasa Thakur saw the opportunity to fall prostrate with his head at the feet of Advaita. And then Lord Nityananda came in and said, oh, how wonderful. Here I see a bridge by which we can reach Vrindavan. And then it was, what does that mean? They turned around and saw, what are you doing? And they, what are you doing? And normally they wouldn't allow it. But actually it's a very significant statement. Because by the mercy of Haridasa Thakur, we received the holy name by which we can attain the Lord. The Lord is Advaita, Mahavishnu. But he saw that there was nothing he could do in this age. Reverential devotion would not deliver the living entities in this age from the clutches of Kali. So he called for Lord Gauranga to please come down. So by the mercy of Haridasa, we get the mercy of the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, we get Lord Gauranga. And by his mercy, we can attain to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And that religion which proclaims worship of Radha and Krishna is most sweet and most potent. So much so that even calling upon the name Krishna, that is the most endearing name of the most beloved. And when we say that name, we will feel something inside, something awakening. That is a memory from a time long ago in a land far away, but that land is our home. And when that love awakens for the Lord and for all living entities, that love will take us back to the Lord who made us all. And that will be our final homecoming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.